Hello, footies, and thank you for joining us once again for Foot in Review, where we've been bringing you leading analysis and opinion on all things FIFA and EAFC since 2019. Today's show is proudly brought to you by footcoaching.com, your number one place for you to get better at FC24. Also, if you want to help support this show directly, please consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/footinreview. You get a range of benefits, including exclusive merchandise, coaching discounts, and much, much more, including ad-free access to the show, which means you won't be hearing this very advertisement. However, we realise that times are tough, so simply leaving us a five-star review wherever you listen to us will be greatly appreciated as it helps the show grow. We'd also like to thank our Skybox holder, Peter, for his exceptional support. Now, let's get to today's show. Hello, footies. Welcome along to your latest dose of EAFC Ultimate Team podcasting goodness. We are Foot in Review, powered by footcoaching.com. We are recording this on February the 27th at around about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. My name is Dan Wimbush, otherwise known as Wimby. I'm delighted to be joined by a returning guest for the show, Adama. He is back after a long hiatus. Can't wait to get into lots of bits and pieces with Adam over the next hour or so. We've got, of course, all of the latest Foot Fantasy content to get to, including a pair of hero SBCs for you to do. We're also going to be talking about our frustrations and where we're getting enjoyment out of this game at the moment, in particular, a little bit of look at the frustrations around skill-based matchmaking and the price of some players as well. Plus, we're going to rattle through lots of other bits and pieces as well. And of course, another little teaser towards episode 600. But before we get into any of that, Adam, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's been a long time since I've been on, but I've had to scrape the bottom of the barrel to get me out today. But I'm looking forward to come back and talk some FIFA and have some fun with you and chat to everyone.
No, mate, it's like, you're the bottle of fine wine we've had down in the basement, you know, what is it, maturing, ready for a special occasion. It's great to have you back. If you haven't, Adam was on the show a couple of years ago, fairly semi-regularly with myself, so it's great to have you back on. Our resident pack-saving expert. How many did you manage to stash away for Team of the Year in the end?
Oh, it was 680 or something. It was sort of interesting. Sort of snapped quite a long time before I did in previous years. Like, the cut-off point for saving everything went early. But I got Melly Bright and Obidorf, who was tradable, so that was a nice mill or so into the bank, so it wasn't a total disaster like most people's was, I think.
Did it make it feel worth it overall? Would you do the same again, or is this year kind of, is that enough for you now?
I still think it's worth it, because if you get one of the good ones, one of the top ones, you know you're sorted in that position for the rest of the game. And if you look at my team from the result of it, I've added Eusebio, George Best, Salah, Bruno Fernandes, Hullett and Davies. So, like, those cards did come out a bit before Team of the Year and you could have got them. I had to wait a little bit to get them, but having them all in at once was really fun. Yeah, it's sort of worth it. Just it's getting less and less worth it each year, but it's just about worth it because it is fun, and if you get lucky, it's the best. If you get lucky,
yeah, I think that's it's always the thing, isn't it, with pack saving? Like, if you get something out of it, you think it's it's at least kind of worth it, and if you don't get anything at all, you think it's the worst thing ever. Although some people just have that memory loss 12 months later and end up pack saving again. So yeah. My pack saving days are done. Beyond like maybe a week or two, I think I'll save. And I was saving selected packs for Team of the Year, but nothing major, just the odd 83x10. I didn't get anything other than the glitched Messi, which, again, I still don't count, even if I'm happy to profit from it. But let's move in to Foot Fantasy. Now, Adam, so far, I've been kind of a bit disengaged with this promo, just in general. I think my general love of this game has taken a bit of a beating in the past couple of weeks, which we'll get into in our kind of main talking points to come. But let's round up some of the content we've had over the weekend. Of course, we had John Ingvy and Carl on Friday's show talking through all of the main team release. We have had the mini release out over the weekend, which was Marcus Acuna, Lacazette and Carl. Any of those three appeal to you, Adam?
Maybe not from a main team, but Lacazette's always a cool one from back in the day. I remember FIFA years and years ago, I got his inform and he was brilliant, so I do quite like him. So if I packed him, I'd definitely get him on the bench and maybe see how he goes. I think I've packed that Carl a few times already, and she's had to be filtered into the SBCs. And Acuna is always quite a good one. Everyone likes him. So yeah, he could be good, especially if he gets the plus four boost. I think it is they get.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lacazette has already managed to get one of his upgrades. He's got one goal or assist. I can't remember if it is a goal or an assist for Lyon so far. So he's already getting one boost already. Always just a very nice meta striker. But I was thinking Lacazette kind of feels into that kind of mid-tier, Adam, between like being that proper meta player, like, you know, the top metas like Mbappe, Eusebio, and then sort of a cheap beast. And I never end up wanting to spend coins on those kind of players because you go from those cheap beasts to the really great players, it seems, really quickly.
Yeah, you know, he's not gonna be quite top end. I feel like high work rates on a striker maybe could be an issue. Sometimes it feels like they're not always exactly in possession, but that could be an Adam thing as well. But he does have well-rounded stats, but sort of on the low end of being good. So he's not elite. Like, he's not going to take over your Eusebio or one of the many player of the month Mbappes or whatever, but he's going to be decent. He is quite expensive, actually. I'm just having a look just now. Looks like he's around 400.
Yeah, about 400k, yeah.
So yeah, I don't think I'd be paying that for him either, but if you get him out of pack and he gets the full plus four, he could be really decent.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's not a million miles away kind of stat-wise from someone like Eusebio, especially if he does end up with getting a plus two, plus three, or a plus four even. You know, if he gets the full set of upgrades and he goes to what, kind of 94 pace, 94 shooting, the dribbling will be over 90 as well. I mean, yeah, it could start to enter that conversation of being in that real sort of meta tier. As for the other two, I mean, Carl, again, the downside with a lot of the women's players at the moment is they're on international break, so they're not going to be getting those upgrades for a little while to come. Nothing particularly sensational about this card, but again, for 15k, I always say this, go and buy one, stash it in your club, and just forget about it, because there'll be a point when 87s, even if she gets no upgrades, and I'm sure she will end up with at least plus one, plus two, you know, an 89 card is going to be worth more than 15k at some point. So just go buy a couple, or even just one, stash it in your club and forget about it. At the very worst, you'll be able to quick sell it for 10k at some point down the road if you desperately need those coins. And Acuna kind of fits. I really like this Acuna card, Adam, and I've bought it. I think what is going to put a hell of a lot of people off is the pace in terms of using him at left back. I mean, that 83 pace, not what you want, but he's got such great traits. He's got that whip pass plus, he's got ping pass. It's what you really want. And a lot of people like to use Acuna in that central midfield role as a stay back CDM. But I think I'm going to try this at left back. I know the pace is a bit low, but I think with the shadow getting up above 80, I think it might just be usable.
Yeah, he'd definitely be all right. I mean, he's got decent agility and balance and reactions to, actually. It always feels like that sort of helps pace a little bit. He doesn't have any like pace play styles really, but he does have relentless. So yeah, I think he'd be really good. And especially if you can time those whipped passes onto a big striker, he's going to be class.
Yeah, high, four-star. He's got other great defending traits as well, in anticipate and bruiser. And like you mentioned, he's got relentless as well. Plus, I always like having power shot. So if he does pop up on that left side of the box or a ball pings to him off a corner, he's always got that. Although 72 finishing means that they probably won't fly in very often, but even so, I like this card. As I said, 37,000 coins is good. Now, the one downside with Acuna is lots of reports that he's injured at the moment. He missed Sevilla's game at the weekend. So him getting anything more than the team upgrades is going to be a little bit tricky. Sevilla didn't score in that game as well, so they've got to get 11 goals in three games, which is going to be tricky for that upgrade. So it might just end up being a two-win upgrade. So he might just go to 80, which is why his price is so low at the moment, and you can pick him up for 37,000 coins. But again, even if he does make it to 90, there are times where 90 rated cards are above 40k, so could be worth a little punt to pick up on that. And if you want to go and complete other cards, we've had a trio released in SBCs since Friday's show. The first one, let's start with the non-hero card, Adam. That is Chris Funrich, who plays for Stuttgart. And on the surface, you might think, well, this is, you know, who are you? Stuttgart, they're not that great. But Stuttgart very quietly had a great season in the Bundesliga. They sit third in the table as well. So looking good on the upgrades on that front. And Funrich as well. 6 goals, 7 assists this year, Adam. This could, again, could be a card that could quite easily tick every single upgrade box.
Yeah, if he gets the plus four, he'll be excellent. He looks pretty decent just now, actually. I might be wrong, but I feel it's pretty rare for EA to give us a SBC that's reasonably priced and has four-star weak foot and five-star skills. So I think he's quite a decent one. And if you imagine what he could look like with a plus three or plus four, he's going to be at least an excellent super sub, probably better than that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That technical playstyle plus, just the one playstyle plus, maybe a little bit disappointing. But like you mentioned, five star, four star. He's also got finesse, rapid, first touch, trickster, relentless, traveller as well. All the stats are in nice places. Composure's 86. The agility and balance are both over 90 as well. Reactions a tiny bit lower, 83. But again, a couple of upgrades could sort that one out. So I think I'll be completing this one. I don't know if it'll actually ever end up getting in my team. But if you've done something like Timo Werner as well, gives you that German link as well. Lots of good players in the Bundesliga to get in. High, medium work rates. This is just one of those cards that just give it a go. There are so many ways to generate fodder right now that there are far worse places than you can put 100,000 coins worth of fodder in to do it. It's only an 85 and an 84 rated squad. The thing that's jacking up the price is the fact that it's an inform in each squad. So if you have lots of informs left over from team of the year kind of time, then yeah, you're going to be laughing. You'll be able to do this dead easy for probably the best part of 50k, if that. So worth going out and completing. And the other two that were released, both heroes. Speaking of cheap, Julie getting released for a very, very cheap price indeed. He's coming in at 90,000 coins for a hero. I can't think of too many heroes that have been that cheap, Adam.
Yeah, he looks really good. I've completed them myself, but I've not actually used them yet. I'm just bringing them up just now on my screen. But I think he's 4-star, 4-star, and does have a lot of decent play styles. I think the only sort of bad marks he gets is the two play styles pluses he have might not be the most desirable. But I did see a video on YouTube. It was the YouTuber Fuji, and he seemed to bang volleys with him from everywhere. So he looked like he could be pretty fun. I think his finishing might have looked a bit suspect on that video, but definitely a fun one that I'm going to try out myself. I can remember him from his Barcelona days when I was about 15, 16 maybe. Yeah. He was always a decent little player.
He was. He's tied to Monaco for this set of upgrades. And Monaco, again, a team doing fairly well in Ligue 1 this season. Again, if you look to their last four games, they have scored 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They've scored 8 goals. So that looks good. Unfortunately, the first game they end up with on this set of four that Julie will be judged by starts with Paris Saint-Germain. So not ideal on that front. They then go to Strasbourg, have Lorient at home and Metz as well. So potential to get that plus two, but I think more likely you'll be looking at plus one for that card. And yeah, acrobatic and flair, probably the two least desirable playstyle pluses you can get out there. But he has still got things like quick step, technical, whip pass, finesse, relentless on the just on the normal playstyles. And the volleys, as you mentioned, 95. So if you do some back post crossing, this guy could be pretty lethal coming in. And I've used both of his other versions of his card, and I think it's a very underrated card, Adam. I think he's got a really nice wriggle to him. He's got that low center of gravity, being only 5'5". And just as I said with Fundrick as well, with so many ways to get fodder and so many dupes that you'll end up with, this is an 86 and an 84 rated squad. No informs required here as well. So you may as well just go and get it done if you have a few dupes.
Yeah, the game sort of feels like you might as well do every SBC that comes out just now within reason, because you're going to get dupes and the sort of fodder packs are like falling out the sky. If you slightly fancy someone, just go do them. I've started Alex Scott just now because I did the cup thing last night and had some dupes. So I did the highest segment of her. What was it, an 87? Yeah, an 87. Yeah. And she might be good, she might not be, but I'll interchange her with Cafu and see how she does. And if she gets the plus two, then she could be a great little card.
Yeah, Scott, the highest price of the trio of SBCs that have been released. She's coming in around about 270,000 coins at the moment. Relentless and jockey playstyle pluses, of course, tied to Arsenal's performance in the WSL. Again, they're on international break at the moment, so they won't be back for another week or so. But yeah, this card ends up at 91. Lots of people were really raving about her UC double UWCL, oh, I can't even pronounce it. The UEFA Women's Champions League, that one, that card in that competition. And even the base card, I think I used the base card a little bit when I was doing some cart with Nathan earlier in the year. And it was actually really, really good performance levels. I think, again, the strength was something that was looked down upon a little bit. The height as well, 5'4". Talk about back post crossing, perhaps not ideal if you've got someone who's, you know, you're playing her at right back and someone's got like a Haaland type card coming in at left forward. But other than that, yeah, I'm high on this card. I've done 2 out of 3 squads. I will be completing the third one as well. So yeah, I think a good right back option again to rival Cafu.
Yeah, she looks really fun. I played against one of the Team of the Year Haalands during the weekend league, and I've decided it doesn't matter who you have. So it could be 5'4" or 10'4". It just doesn't make a difference when he's steaming in at the back post.
Yeah.
I'd taken that the little left back Olga Carmona. I think she's about 5'4", but she just felt so slight. So I upgraded her to Davies, and it's been a bit better. But again, if he's on the rampage, you just have to kind of hope he misses somehow.
Yeah, I have the same problem with still rocking the Batcher SBC card as well. And again, that height and strength is just starting to really show against some of these cards. And even some of the Foot Academy players now just seems, you know, the amount of times that Athenia seems to be bullying her is not helpful. So that's why I'm thinking maybe getting Acuna in. Yes, it sacrifices the pace a little bit, but maybe it'll... You know, one of my big flaws as a FIFA and EAFC player is the fact that I roam too far with my fullback. So maybe this will teach me a bit of force discipline if I put Acuna in. So, yeah, lots of good content to get on with. And as mentioned, loads of options. You can't fault the menu content right now that EA have put out. We'll discuss in a minute. Maybe it's too little, too late. But we've had the 83 plus pick released over the weekend. The 81 plus went away, but they replaced it with an 80 plus again. So player picks are still here. The 87 plus hero pick came back. It still contains base icon, base heroes though. So again, very heavily downvoted for understandable reasons. I've seen lots of horrible picks from that one. And just on news as well, we did finally get hero pick compensation. Adam, did you get any?
Yeah, I did. I got the replacement ones yesterday, and I think I got Fernando Morientes and big German striker Mario Gomez. That's who it was. Yeah. Can't complain, though, because I got Lucio and Dina Taylor from the first two, so that was fair enough. Although I have seen some people that got four replacement ones, and they took it down, and they got another four somehow.
Oh, my God.
But that's good for them, and unlucky for me, I guess.
All right, for some. I ended up with one. I don't think I deserved one because I think when I did the original pick, all of my options were 87 plus, but they sent me one anyway. And I got 3 base picks. And I think Rafa Marquez, I think, was the best at 88. So I just took him for fodder. So I got what I deserved on that front. But yes, they have finally, it took far, far too long. This should not have rumbled on for however long it was. And especially when it's, you know, as Adam mentioned, if it's glitched and possibly people are getting double compensation, it's just... You know, go back and listen to the show we did 2 weeks ago about mistakes and just change the SBC title and you get our thoughts on that one. So yeah, lots to get on with the menus. Of course, you've got the cup going on as well at the moment, and that is kind of going to fuel what we're going to talk about next, which is skill-based matchmaking and just the general way the game modes are affecting our enjoyment of the game right now. So Adam, before I tee off, I'm going to start with you because we've not heard from you for a long time. How are you finding the whole kind of mixture of game modes and the way they're formatted so far on the AFC?
I find it hard to explain because there's not much to do during the week. You get your 7 wins in rivals, and that's usually torture for everyone because if you're up top, then in Elite or Division 1 or Division 2, you're playing really tough players. And if you're in Division 3 to 7, you're playing just the same players because no one wants to go up the top. So it's all sort of stagnated and not much is happening. I somehow played up to Elite last week, or just before the season ended, and didn't really notice any difference from Division 1 or Division 2. It just sort of felt the same. And then I think for me, the best two parts of the game by a massive amount is the weekend league and qualifying, as you get a variety of opponents. It can be fun, it can be sweaty, it can be in between, can be frustrating too, but it gives you a kind of mix, so it feels like it's slightly varied as you progress through, so it's like that's good to me. And going back to rivals, we've all said it a million times, the fact that friendlies is tied to your rivals form or rivals rank, it's just, it's not a friendly, it's just a big stinking contradiction, and we wish to fix it.
Absolutely 100% agree, my friend. I got promoted to Division 1 just before the reset the other week, which meant, again, they only put us down one division again, so I've ended up back in Div 2. And I'm struggling hard. I played a session of Rivals the other day. Admittedly, it was during daytime where you do get harder opponents generally, but I think I won. And this was over a couple of sessions, actually. I think I won. It took me probably 25 games to get my 7 wins when you factor in a few draws as well. And it's just a soul deflating experience, because when I'm getting hammered game after game, I'm not playing my rivals, I'm playing people that are better than me. So that is where the old system of relegation meant if you were off form or you were wanting to try something, I would go down from Division 2 to Division 4, and then you would have a chance to find your touch again, try something new, find something that works, and work your way back up. But the stupid way this system works is you can't do that. You just have to sit there getting punished. And then when, like you say, the fact that your friendlies matchmaking is based on that rivals rank makes it even worse, because there is no escape for you. If you have completed your playoffs, which again are only 10 games, and your weekend league, you know, 20 games, well, for the rest of the week, you are being forced to play a skill-based matchmaking mode. There is literally nothing else other than squad battles. Now, there are lots of people out there that are massively fueled by the competitiveness and want to improve and want to get better. And I take all those arguments, absolutely. But there are lots of people that do just want to chill out, that do just want to play. And look, this might be, I don't think this is a controversial opinion, but I like to win from time to time, Adam. I actually quite enjoy winning games. And I know there are some people out there that are like, oh, it's not satisfying if you beat someone that's a lot worse than you. I don't feel that way, as long as it's not a complete mismatch. But I sometimes just like to go into a game thinking, I am the better player here, and the onus is on me to show that, rather than scrapping and fighting for my life just to try and get 7 wins. And I think this goes back to another point. I think I was talking about it with John Talking Foot the other week, Adam, is that EA need to do more to reward you for actually just playing games rather than putting the entire onus on just a result.
Yeah. You get, 700 coins a match if you play the full game and score a few goals and keep a clean sheet and whatever. So if you do that about 600,000 times, you might be close to a good icon that you are a good player that you want in your team. If you play for rewards, you're kind of up a gum tree in that one as well, because 99% of the time it's not the best. For me, my opinion is it's been the last 2 or 3 game cycles, it's been the exact same format, and I think everyone's just begging for a change. I know there's debates on why you shouldn't have relegation, because the people relegate themselves down to Division 10 and pound their way back up in 25 minutes, which is also wrong. But that there has to be something. It is no fun when you're playing and not getting anything. Like, obviously you shouldn't just play for rewards and play for this and that, but you like to feel like you're progressing along something. It feels like they're, everything's got, it's just to get you to the store. We sort of know that.
Yeah.
If they put 10% of their energy as they've put into inventing the Twinkle Stars Vortex Pack or whatever they're called into coming up with new game modes, I think we wouldn't be in such a situation. I think, like, being positive, like, Weekend League and qualifying's pretty fun. Although there's people that can't play Weekend League because they're either really busy on weekends, they've got other commitments, they've got jobs, or some people struggle to qualify as well. And it, you can see why they've got a sort of skill cap to stop people going and losing all 20 games really badly. But at the same time, it's part of the game that people are missing out on. So there's not much to do.
Yeah.
And it's just weird that there's a game with not much to do when there's so much to do in the menus. And if you like playing football, which most people buy FIFA for football and then maybe fall into enjoying the menu side. There's just, I don't know, it feels like it's like an international break, this game sometimes. Although the new cup, I have to say that was a really good breath of fresh air, the new cup that they've brought out with unlimited tries to get it done. I think that was really good and definitely much needed. We've not had many cups this year.
No, absolutely agree. And the fact they've made it short halves as well and unlimited is brilliant. But even then, EA don't quite get it right because in a way, they've bred more toxicity into even this game mode because you've now got a section of the community that is desperate for rewards and wants to play Golden Goal. You've then got another section of the community that's like, oh, actually, I quite like playing with a different team. And I've seen it all. I've had one session on the cup. I played for about 2 hours yesterday morning. And I've had it all. I've had rampant celebrators. I've had people pausing repeatedly when they score and I don't insta quit. I've had people that will just quit at 1-1. I've had quitting for all kinds of reasons. I've had messages sent to me. And it's just kind of like, it just breeds that toxicity. Whereas in the past, they have just gone out and made certain cup modes, Golden Goal, for example. It's really difficult. And I think we've had all of the different, you know, I totally understand those that do just want to play Golden Goal and think that, great, if we all play Golden Goal, it will make this process a lot speedier. I do take that for granted. Take that argument absolutely fine. You know, John has been on the show, head of foot coaching, John has been on the show talking in the past. He just doesn't play Golden Goal. If he thinks he's better than somebody, he's just going to keep playing. And those people should be absolutely entitled to play the game modes the way they want as well. So, even when they're trying to do something nice, Adam, sometimes it just seems that they can't win.
Yeah. I think also, like, everyone enjoys sort of the cups. They enjoyed them more in the past when it was like the matchmaking was a bit more flexible and you could sort of, you weren't quite sure who you were playing. But now it's so tight previously and you've got 5 games a day to win 10 games. And if you miss a day or two because you're doing whatever, then that makes it your win percentage to be quite high. So I sort of think you shouldn't be doing Golden Goal because as soon as everyone abuses that and does Golden Goal, the next cup will be 5 games a day to win 25 with like the full sweat squads and then everyone's going to be complaining about it again. Like just chill out and have a bit of fun. I was playing the cup with Sorloth up front. I found his 87 in form in my club and I was like, let's see what this big lump can do. Turns out he couldn't do a lot in my hands, but I think other people will have more joy out of him. So he got ditched as soon as we found Torres in the win segment. And as soon as we got him, like everything was just going in because he was like ahead of the 87 rated curve for finishing.
Yeah.
So that made it really fun. So I enjoyed it. I did have a few games that people quit at one. People equalised and quit on me, like you said. People paused for me to quit. I made sure I won those games. But yeah, it's just like everything that EA do is either countered in a bad way or in a good way by the people that play, and then it just makes it worse for the player base in the future when they then go to tie that loophole. And it's just like, it's just a battle of the minds, like the people in EA and everyone trying to get the most out of the game.
Yeah, this is why we can't have nice things. But I think it's, you know, part of the monster they've created. They've created this game that's based so much around rewards, so much about getting that next upgrade, that people are just no longer happy to, like you say, sit there and enjoy your team. I mean, I enjoy the mode because I get to use some of my Reading Evo players. They are actually meta in this mode. And that's great, you know, using Femi Aziz and Gareth McCleary and Charlie Savage, people like that. It's great for me. But then I said I have to deal with the rampant toxicity. And also, I'm always in two minds. I'm like, well, am I playing Golden Goal or am I not? You know, should I be doing this? I noticed one, you know, Marius in the Discord was saying how he just put his team name as I play Golden Goal and kind of leaves it up to people to then quit instantly if they don't like that or not. I kind of like that approach. John, who is listening live, says, Golden Goal is BS. We aren't playing hockey. And again, a nice perk if you subscribe to our Patreon or just join our Discord now. You get the link to be able to listen live to this show. So again, patreon.com/footinreview. And the Discord link is published in this show. So it's tricky. But yeah, I mean, I'm just... It's burned me out on this game because I'm just sick of competing really hard. And I've been trying different formations and things like that. And then in the end, I was speaking to you, I went back to 4-3-2-1 the other day and I started winning more games. And that gives you that kind of bittersweet feeling of, well, it's nice against me winning games, but the downside is I've just had to join the sheep. I've had to join everybody else.
Yeah, I've played that most of the year. My defense might be a flimsy one, but my defense is, back in the day, I used to always play that formation because I was like, I like 4-3-3, but I like my strikers to be sort of, or my wide left and right wings to be sort of in a bit more. So I used to always play that back in the day. And then I think the days of 4-2-3-1 in FIFA 17, 18, that was the end of it. So it's been quite nice for me to see it come back and be able to play good with it and have fun. But it is rife. Everyone plays it. But I would be honest and say I prefer playing against that than when it's someone that's five at the back. It's that five formation with the three in front, and it just looks like the Great Wall of China. Doesn't matter what you do. You used to be able to sort of counteract that with a well-placed Travella, but that's maybe they're still effective, but they're not for me. I've not got that in my wheelhouse anymore. So, yeah, 4-3-2-1, 4-3-1-2. There, it's good. I think I'd sort of mix and match away from it every now and again, and change to, I've got a narrow attacking one that John set us up with. Let me just go and find it, actually. And that's really good. The problem I have with it is if you go two goals down, you come back quickly, and then I can't decide whether to go back to being sort of semi-solid and safe or just keep going. But it is a fun formation. Let me just double-check which one it is.
Well, we will review that as part of our formation in review, which will be coming up on the other side of the ad break. But just to sort of put an end to this particular discussion point, I think you talk about gameplay and the ways of scoring goals, and I think that just adds to the whole frustration around skill-based matchmaking, is because it is so rigid and so one, if you're lucky, two-dimensional, especially as you get in the higher ranks. There is a certain way to win games, and you just have to kind of do that unless you are very, very skilled and have a much greater command of things like skill moves than and button commands than I have. And I just find myself just getting bored. It's just, I just get so bored and frustrated of having to play the same way against the same formations, against the same top-end players. And I don't know that it's... I don't think the game is dead, but I do think that EA have wandered into a bit of... They've made a mistake with how they've... And we talked about this with John last week, with how they formatted the power curve and the way the SBCs have been released, and the general... you know, the fact that gameplay just isn't very good, it is leading me astray. I am now playing other games again because I've escaped the FIFA gravity field, because it's just not gripping. The gameplay isn't gripping enough. The menus are good, but I've ground the menus hard all year for bugger all rewards. So I'm kind of moving on, and that's why I'm now a proud member of the Helldivers.
Yeah, I've played a lot sort of. The game's clicked with me the last sort of 3 weeks, and I've really enjoyed it. I've been determined to get my hands on the second red thing.
Yeah.
And I never had, because like I'd came back from traveling, so weekend league was rough, and then it was the Christmas one, so I didn't quite get all the games in. So like the last few weekends, I was like, I'm going to get this. So I had a sort of purpose to play, and I think got 16 wins the first 2 weeks, so I only needed like 8 wins or 9 wins or whatever it was to get the last one. And then as soon as I got enough wins, I was like, oh, that'll do. Tried to play two more games a weekend league, and I was like, that's it. Like, as soon as you've had something different to play for, and it was fun, and it does feel stale. I think it's the teams. I think it's because everyone's got such a great team, and it's so hard to progress, and you can sort of make sideways changes and have someone that's just as good or a little bit worse than, but because it's so competitive in every mode, as we've said, you don't want to lose that 1-2% that's going to get you a win or the next rank or the friendlies done if you've got 5 games to do them like you normally do. It's just like, it's as if the ceiling's too high and the ceiling's too low and the floor's too high. You've just got nowhere to go. You can't reach the top, but you're everything else is just sort of nothingness.
And it's time consuming. I said playing Rivals, like a Rivals game generally, if you play the whole way, will take you probably, what, 15, 20 minutes now? If you go through two or three games and you're in a bad run of form, like I go through two or three games, suddenly an hour's gone. And I'm sat there thinking, what have I really achieved in this hour? You know, maybe I've tried a different formation or a different player, but ultimately I've not got any of my wins. I've not been rewarded beyond the 700 coins per game. And I'm frustrated and bored by the fact that I'm generally having to try and play the same way. And even if I want to try and improve my game and learn new skill moves and things like that, again, it's really hard to do so when you're in such a competitive environment. It's hard trying to learn ball roll scoops and stuff when you're getting charged down by Vieira and Sauer in the midfield constantly. But anyway, we'll move on. We are going now to take a very short break for our non-Patreon listeners. And after that, we'll come back with the formation review. As Adam mentioned, he's got the 4-1-2-1-2 narrow to talk about. We've got our player in review as well. And a week later, I am going to answer that key question of which FIFA or EAFC player is as much like pineapple on a pizza. So stay tuned for all of that coming up after this break. So we couldn't do this show without our patrons. And if you're listening to me saying this, you aren't a Patreon subscriber. So here is that break. Now, Foot in Review is celebrating episode 600 on April the 2nd, and we're celebrating big. We're giving away three of our limited edition esports jerseys to our fans. And if you donate a tenner, you can be part of our Powerball contest to have an even bigger chance to get your hands on that very shirt. But that's not all. 100% of those donations will go directly to Macmillan Cancer Support. And to show our support for Macmillan, Foot Coaching is going to be donating all bookings made for coaching sessions during March as well. So, yep, you've supported us for 600 episodes. And not only do we give back exclusive content, we like to give back to people that can use a hand in tough times. And that's why we are supporting Macmillan. So please donate through the link below in the show notes or book a session at footcoaching.com. We'll make sure your support gets mentioned during episode 600 on April the 2nd. Right, welcome back to part two of Foot in Review. Now, we've got formations to talk about with Formation in Review. And whilst I teed Adam up to talk about the 4-1-2-1-2 narrow, I was getting confused in my old age because that is the brand new formation that is going to be, that's just been released for our patrons, again, at patreon.com/footinreview. So we'll have some more thoughts on that in the coming weeks. But Adam, you've been playing another narrow formation that John released in the past.
Yeah, I'm too old and slow to update to the latest things until they're beyond cool. So the one I've been using was John's 4-3-1-2. I think he brought it out just before Christmas. And it's a sort of attacking one. Both fullbacks are on balanced and overlap. Let me just double check. Yeah, they're on balanced and overlap. So you sort of just overload the full field and you've got so many more options. It's really nice. I played the game in Weekend League last week. I think it was 3 down or 4 down. Changed to that as my gung-ho tactic. And by the end of the game, I'd won by 3. It was just it's good when you're that far down and you can just go for everything and just be absolutely fearless. Sometimes the problem arises when you catch back up and you're not sure if you're brave enough to keep going for the throat and try to bury them quickly or just kind of go back to being a bit more stable. But it's really fun. You can get quick, fast passes between the strikers and the cam. I've got George Best as the cam, who just, if you drive into him with a driven pass, he sort of takes it on his first touch, play style plus well, and then can either go on a wiggly run or pass or shoot and then just go from there. So yeah, it's a really fun formation. And it's good fun, especially if you're a couple of goals down and you're getting desperate.
Yeah, I need to give something like that a go. I used to love the 4-1-2-1-2 narrow, so I'm looking forward to this new formation as well. But going back to 4-3-2-1, which I actually, again, you talk about your defense for using it. It's if you need one. Nobody needs defense for using any formation in this game. But I used 4-3-2-1 a lot last year, as did a lot of people, and played that throughout most of the game, which is, I find it weird why I have resisted so long on this game. I have been enjoying 4-2-3-1 still. I've tried 4-4-2. Did try a 5-back for a little bit. Just didn't really like it. It just doesn't suit me at all. So yeah, I'm going to see how 4-3-2-1 treats me. But yeah, I do need that. I used to love having that 4-1-2-1-2 or a narrow formation like the 4-3-1-2 in your arsenal to really go kind of gung ho and put the pressure on and see if people crumble. Especially if people have been pushing you high and their stamina drains in that second half. That's when formations like that really come into their own, because suddenly you are just getting past their fullbacks and their CDMs who are knackered. So it's definitely one I'll be trying. But let's go from formation in review to player in review. And Adam, you got one of the big guns from Future Stars.
Somehow from like an 84 plus pack, I got French PSG and I was like, who is this? And it was Warren Zaïre-Emery. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. I was like, oh, he looks quite good. And then I seen his price and he was like 1.8 or 1.9 million at the time. I was like, wow. So what I think is particularly unique about him, well, maybe not unique, but special, is that he has medium attacking and high defensive work rates. Most players just don't seem to have that this year. Like, De Jong used to have that and he doesn't now. So I thought if I use him as my sort of holding midfielder, it could go well. So I sent Big Red Hullet to centre back and brought him in, and he's been really fun so far, to be fair. He's sort of maybe slightly low in defensive stats, but he does have good stand tackle at 91. 83 defensive awareness is a bit low for that sort of position, but I do place a big emphasis on players that are good at passing this year, and his distribution is excellent. And he has some cool play style pluses with the technical plus, press proven plus, and then the other three has our jockey, incisive pass, which is really good, especially as the plus, and tiki-taka, which is quite nice as well. So he's sort of, don't know, a modern day defensive midfielder where he's not completely Gattuso, but he's really good with the ball and he's pretty solid in the tackle without being an absolute menace. He's 5'10" as well, so he's got decent height, but again, he's not a giant. So I might swap Hullet back to centre defensive mid and just sort of rotate them about, but he's a great card and his 5-star skill moves are good fun as well to elastical your way to trouble if you're me. But yeah, he's good.
The key question though, would you pay 1.7 million coins for this card?
Oh, I meant to say actually when you asked me to come on the pod and do a player review, not a chance. He's probably I don't know. He's not better than, but he's different. I wouldn't say he's much better than Bruno Fernandes, and he's around the mill. I don't know, I think he's, I don't know, maybe if you're being generous, 700-800k maybe.
Okay.
That's probably been very generous as well, actually, if you look at what you could buy. But yeah, he's still 1.78 million or whatever on the market, so some people must like him. But it goes back to what we were saying earlier about the prices of everything is just nuts. Like, I don't think he should be as expensive as he is, but he is. Wish I could have sold him, but not to worry.
Yeah, we've got lots of comments and discussion going on in the Discord at the moment, and people in kind of my situation. I've got about 1.3 million coins, and I'm struggling to spend it because there is just nobody in that price range that is a guaranteed slam dunk improvement. And then to get that improvement, you have to get up to the sort of 2-3 million coin bracket, and it's really hard to do so. And then even if you do have that amount of coins, EA can just release something of a best of into packs or a player pick or something else or a new Evo that sends your card crashing in value. And, you know, like, this kind of goes a little bit away from player and review, but I mean, Adam, do you get the sense that coins are just going to be, well, the fact that coins just might go full stop in the near future?
Well, I've looked at them this year as just fodder coupons for SBCs. That's basically what most coins I've had have went to. Just became fodder. Like, my full team is first owned untradeable from either pack pools or SBCs. To be fair, they're all SBCs apart from Zaïre-Emery and Charlton, who's on my bench just now. But yeah, as I'm the exact same as you, I've got 2 million, just over 2 million coins. There's no one that I can buy, and you're just like, well, what's the point? And then, like, normally I'd be playing like a fiend to go and afford like Pele or someone, or Cruyff. I've really enjoyed Cruyff, but I'd want the best version. That's maybe snobbery on my part, but I just feel like if you're spending that many coins, you should be able to get the best version. But the Thundercroft's like 5.7 million or something, maybe even higher. And I'm not getting that anytime soon. And the other one, like, I'm sure he's probably 99.8% as good, but just from a sort of my perspective, I'd want the best one possible. And he's not coming. I've been doing the Roulette Icon packs to see if I can get one. Getting lots of Dutch strikers that aren't the good ones.
Oh, that pack, yeah. Adam. It's the dream crusher. Every time you build it, you're like, this is it. This is the one I'm going to get, Pelé or Ronaldo. And then you just end up with Paul Scholes again.
That's the one.
I got Nesta in my last one. I did get one that is, this player falls really neatly into that category of I could have bought anyway, is Puskas' base card, which is somehow 950K and is a very good striker. But he's got a 3-star weak foot. And when you go and say, well, can I put him in ahead of player of the month Mbappe or Thunderstruck Eusebio? The answer is always going to be the same. So it's so difficult, as I said, to get that upgrade.
Yeah. The last icon related it was after last weekend league. I think it was, what's her name? Birgit Prinz.
Prinz.
So it's good for an SBC, but I'm guessing she's probably going to be 90K. Yeah. 74K on bid. And like, she'd be cool to have at the start of the game for a bit, see how she goes. But where we are now, you're just like, there's no one. It's literally the 0.1 of the 0.1% or bust.
Yeah.
So coins, is just sad having so many coins and nothing to do with them.
Exactly. Just fund your next spin of the wheel.
Yeah, I don't even need them for SBCs now. I've got that much fodder. It's just like, I think the way everyone's speaking the same with having so many coins and nothing to do with them, really, it shows that the format of the game this year isn't.
Oh, but
it's either not right or it's not how they intended, or it is, and we're just daft.
But don't worry, Adam, because you can go to the store and get a guaranteed 3 base icon pack this week.
Oh, that's 600, what I need to do with my coins. Mm.
675,000 coins. As somebody posted on the EFC Reddit page, a visual sample of 7 that they'd either done or seen. And garbage. All of them garbage. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I don't know. This sounds really mean because I don't want to be sitting here telling people how to spend their money and whether it's smart or if it's not smart and if you've got the income, whatever. But part of me is like, you kind of deserve to get that base. A little bit of me is like, that's deserved. If you're going spending 675,000 coins or the equivalent, I think it's 4,000 FC points, which is about £35. No, to get, I saw someone with Scholes, Lampard and Gerrard in a pack. And I'm just sat there thinking,
the golden generation.
Where do you sit? As someone that doesn't really spend points, would you rather see people, this guy, I guess is a really human question, isn't it? But delving deep beyond FC. But would you rather see somebody who spends £35 really rewarded for spending that money? Or do you actually think, well, good, it means you can't basically pay your way to the top? Where do you kind of sit?
Probably because of how long I've sort of dipped in and out of FIFA Ultimate Team, I think the big packs are everything that's wrong with the game, really. So if you're loading up 50 quid a week to get your 3 icons, I hope they're all Scholes.
Base Scholes, Thunderstruck Scholes.
Yeah, played like that. I got him actually from one of the SPC picks that had the Thunders in them. I was like, oh God. Played the guy in weekend league. He had the Thunder Ronaldinho and the Thunder Cruyff, and they were both first on.
Oh my god! Like,
what have you spent in the store?
Yeah.
But yeah, I like earning my cards. There's no need to, like, if you want to spend your money, do what you want. But the way the game is this year, there's just no need to load up, really. You can get, as we say, you can get the 99.8% of everything anyway, and then if you load up in the store, you're going to have a slightly better chance at it, but probably not get it anyway. So what's the point? And then if you're tempted, you just think, in what, 7 months, reset, and then you have to go again.
Exactly. And that's why we are hashtag bin the points here. And yeah, I want to see people get nothing, because I hope it sets something off in their mind to be like, I'm not going to do this again. And therefore, if they don't do it again, the EAs sell less packs, and therefore maybe they'll change their minds. But I cannot, if I spent £40 and got Scholes, Gerrard and Lampard, I would never, ever, ever touch FC points again. Which is what confuses me about EA's strategy sometimes, is because I do wonder if they are going to drive people away from getting these store packs when they're proven to be so garbage.
But maybe, I don't know, I have no idea, but just thinking, maybe the people that are doing this are people that don't play as much as we do. Maybe they play like 5 games a week, and they see that, they think 3 icons, and then they're, I don't know, 25 years old, whatever age they are, and they get Scholes, Gerrard and Lampard, and they're like, that's England's golden generation, like, and then see how it goes.
And I'm sure in Div 8 they're good players.
Yeah, like maybe Scholes wasn't, was he a bit before the golden generation, actually?
He was kind of part of it.
On the cusp. But yeah, like, I don't think the people that are spending, the people that spend the most, apart from like the bald guy that we all know that gets our mind every other week, I think the people that spend the most money probably play the least, like the sort of casual people. They're like, oh, there's a pack, they've got 3 icons, see what we get, oh, we got whoever, play 10 games, and then that'll be them for the next couple of weeks. And then maybe next month, when Team of the Season starts or whatever, they'll then, oh, it's Team of the Season, whack on some more, see what we can get, and just do that. And that's, because I can't imagine there's many people that have got the teams like we do and are spending money on those store packs, because 99% of the time you're not getting anything. You're just getting like coupons for your next SBC.
Very, very expensive coupon. But it's good. It's good perspective. And it's sometimes very hard for us as hosts, especially myself as a host of this show, so deep into the community and the way this game is played, to kind of have that more casual mindset of what someone who is, you know, either just a casual player or a younger player or an older player or whatever. So yeah, and ultimately that is why EA are making billions, because they have all this metric data, and they are able to see and best tailor their content to maximize sales. So you can accuse EA of being a lot of things, but you can't accuse them of not being intelligent and clever with the way that they do things, because that is why they make more and more money off this game, even when you seem to see more and more people at the dedicated hardcore community voicing their displeasure. So we'll see what gives, but that is going to be one for the months and years to come. It is time to get to the most important discussion point of the week, Adam, and this is one that Nathan Downs asked me last week and I shamefully forgot about, even though I plugged it at the top of the show I did with John. And made my whole intro about it. Nathan asked, which player in EAFC is most like pineapple on a pizza? I know this one, I'm sure you've given many, many, many nights of thought to. Would you like me to give mine so you can have some time to think?
Yeah, that's a good show.
So my initial, because obviously I've had a week to think about this, and this will come with no shock to heard that show I did with Shaq. Mine is Zinedine Zidane. Zinedine Zidane, some people, is absolutely delicious. They love everything about Zinedine Zidane, and they don't think anything of having Zinedine Zidane in their team. However, I, much in the same way I view pineapple on a pizza, look at Zinedine Zidane having used Zidane and think, no, this guy doesn't work. It just throws everything off. There are so many more better toppings, aka better midfielders in this game. And therefore, Zidane is my pineapple on a pizza. And the only other ones I thought about were maybe people like Ivan Cordoba, who is a really like small centre-back. And some people absolutely love having that really fast, small centre-back. And other people are like, they're too small. They're getting bullied in the air. I can't possibly use this. So they were my two.
My first one will be a weird one, because it's probably going to be exclusive to me and me alone. Or maybe not quite me alone, but it's pretty niche. So I evoed Centurion's Evil Jonathan Bamba, and he was brilliant. Like for the stage in the game, he got up to a 5-star weak foot. He had finesse, regular finesse for playstyle, and he was just good. And I played them on the left all the time for, let me see how many games, for 945 games. So this boy done some work. And eventually he just went off the boil, and he would do all the good stuff, but then not score. So it's like, he's pizza, because pizza's good and he does well, but then the pineapple on the pizza doesn't fill you up. So he's like, he's almost good, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And going for another one that's probably more mainstream, I've not actually used him, but I've heard lots of people say he's either brilliant or he's not, and it's probably Paolo Maldini's regular icon card. I was going to do him at Team of the Year, but then I packed Millie Bright, so I didn't. But I've heard lots of people say he's brilliant, and I've seen lots of people say he's like, he's sort of good, but he kind of lets you down when you need it, need the most. So I don't know. I think that would be my two. One sort of to me, and one that I think other people might sort of consider, pineapple and pizza.
I like it. I like it. And we will get the scout Nathan Downs on to give his own pineapple on pizza thoughts in the coming weeks. But we are right out of time. You follow me at Wimby or at Wimby86. Float between both of them. Mostly Wimby at the moment, to be honest. And of course, you can follow all of our socials at Foot Coaching. Again, remember the bonus, the Powerball contest to get your hands on that special shirt with all the proceeds going to Macmillan Cancer Care. Again, all the details can be found on the show notes at the bottom of this post. Thank you so much for all of you who support us, especially to all of our Patreons and to everybody out there who's left us 5-star reviews. Adam, thank you very much for coming back on. Hopefully it won't be so long before we get you back on again. The guys will return over the weekend. It's Foot Fantasy Team 2 on the horizon, so much more of the same. I hope everyone is out there again, whether you are like me trying to bravely defend Super Earth in Helldivers 2, or you are still grinding away on your Evos, or whatever you are doing, however you are, I hope everyone is well. Hope you all enjoy it. And one last thing to do, we are going to drop it.
Drop it.
F-U. 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 F-U.